Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast with your host, myself, Cormac, and my co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how are we today?
I'm actually happy to talk about anything but football on this podcast, Cormac. Really, this is the home of everything but football.
You say that, but I'm sure we'll get into a lot of football talk over the next hour or so.
Yeah, I'm also very sad because I'm losing my right-hand man.
Yep, indeed. I'm off to a rather spectacular trip to Japan. Very lucky to be able to do. So this will be our last episode for probably 2 weeks. In that 2 weeks anyway, there is an international break, so we're not missing too much. But we'll hopefully have a few bits and bobs here and there appear over the next 2 weeks. So keep your eyes out for other videos and what have you to keep us going. But for now, in this episode, folks, we are going to be looking at the big six, if you will, and looking at their best and worst, and who we think are the best and worst players so far this season. Obviously, we'll get on with some chat of the football that's just happened over the weekend, such as Man United, Brentford, Arsenal, Newcastle. So lots of talking points there with the, I'm going to say, the title race on one end and the relegation battle on the other. But first things first, I think we'll start looking at the best and worst players.
Cormac. I'm in a hateful mood, so.
Nice. Well, speaking of hateful moods, shall we start with Man United then?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just go into it. Yeah, Cormac, I think you should tell me.
Okay.
Take the bias out.
I mean, I've kind of had a little bit of a look beforehand and have you. I've tried to do a bit of research. As best player, I genuinely did struggle. I think I looked at the likes of maybe Mbeumo because he's looked good, but it's all well and good looking good, but he hasn't scored as much as he maybe should have. Cunha's looked very good, but he was injured for a couple of weeks. I have gone for Bruno still.
Yeah.
As the best player for Man United this year. He's playing out of position. Yeah, he's still, every time he's on the pitch and on the ball especially, he looks like he's the only one that's ever going to create anything in their Man United squad.
Okay.
And then for the worst player, which I'll be honest, there was a long list to flick through. I think I did land on Ugarte in the end.
Really?
I don't know it's hard to say if he would necessarily have been the worst player. I know that's kind of the point of what we're doing. I think I was looking at him. Luke Shaw, I think, has really struggled. I did obviously Bindir as well in goal, but I think that just felt like kicking a dead horse a little bit there.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think Ugarte, given Man United's problems are the midfield, and then the fact that you have someone like Ugarte in midfield, who is just so unbelievably out of his depth and in just not mobile. Just off, not very good on the ball, isn't able to pass forward, isn't able to complete passes. I think he's just really struggled this season.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
You know what? I don't disagree. Bruno, I agree with, but it's horrible because I don't think he's had a good season. Missed two penalties.
True, yeah.
But I put it more down to the fact that he's playing 20 yards further back than he should be.
Yep.
Because as soon as he played 20 yards further up, where he's meant to be against Chelsea, he scored a goal.
Yep.
And was a lot more influential on the game. But yeah, overall, sadly, this team is still just Bruno Fernandes.
Yep.
And hope and prayers. And worst player, well, how much time do you have, folks? But I agree, Manuel Ugarte, by design, for £50 million is what we paid.
That's crazy. £50 million
is a scam. But in what Ruben Amorim, in some weird, messed up world, whatever he's trying to do, in whatever world that might be successful, whatever the alternative universe, the DM, the ball-grabbing DM who almost crushes opposition's play, sniffs it out is really important in that system. But we managed to buy the worst one, so it's really cool when we do that thing that we always do, which is buy design by the player, and then they turn out to be, well, rubbish. Special mention for Diego Dallo, who I just think is bad at the football and continues to prove to me that he is bad at the football. Can't defend, can't attack, can't run past a man despite being statistically the quickest player in the squad.
I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, but you know what he can do, which makes him the not quite the worst player? He's really good at high fives, and I am a man who admires a high five. So thankfully that is saving Diogo from being the worst player, but yeah, he's up there and he's doing well. So
he's keep doing it up. Well at being the high five guy.
Keep it up, brother.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, like you said, I think the worst player is, there's a long list of probably players you could look at Man United. I think the worst player is the system, I think, is maybe.
Yeah, but this is it. So I'm thinking of other players who have been really bad. I'm like, well, actually, De Ligt, he's been actually quite good.
You know what, actually, it was either him or Bruno I was looking at. Yeah, well, De Ligt. I forgot to mention De Ligt.
But
as well.
De Ligt, to slightly go into it, not too much though, don't worry. De Ligt has looked really good in the centre of that defence. So what did he do for this game? Stuck him on the right-hand side, electric, and it's the worst game he's looked. So, you know, just when a player is starting to give some form or look actually at home, as soon as someone looks at home in the system, he's like, you know, Mason Mount, left wing back.
Again.
Yeah.
So, how many times can he chop and change?
No one has changed. I think he's changed his defence by making a substitute in his defence, like 31 out of the 34 Premier League games. No manager has made any more, because typically the sign of a good team is when you don't change your defence.
You don't need to, because especially when you're chasing games most of the time at the moment. So why are you bringing on a centre-back for a centre-back?
Yeah.
Or Mason Mount to go at left-wing
back. But again,
the system is the problem.
The system is our worst player, basically. I think that's fair. Yeah,
Diego Dallo. All right, moving on then. Should we look at Arsenal?
Yeah, let's do Arsenal.
Because I think this is a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
You go first on this one here, I think, because I went first on the United one.
Your best player, I think, is quite obvious.
As of this season so far.
I'm probably going to go for Jurrien Timber.
I have also picked Timber.
Really? Great minds think alike, man. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he is. I mean, do you want to hear your words?
Tell me about him, man.
Yeah, he is Mr. Consistent, really.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good defensively. He's so good on the ball. He's got a few goals. I think he's got 2 goals in that one game. Was that against Leeds? I think he got 2 goals. So he's you know, contributing going forward as well. He allows either Madueke or Saka, whoever it is, down that right-hand side to kind of... He gives him the space. He gives him the overlap. He's able to cut inside. But I think he's proven that he's probably the best... He's definitely the best right-back in the league at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the kind of... He's a top three right-back maybe in Europe as well.
Yeah.
I think the only ones I'm looking at definitely better are like Hakimi and maybe a few others. Maybe one
people
other.
From other leagues that we don't care about.
Exactly, that we don't watch because it's gross and foreign. Whereas we love the English football. That was a joke, folks. But yeah, I think Timber is just sensational.
As we say on the pod, I am a lover of footballers who are good at the football. And he is good at the football. He's you could put him anywhere on the pitch and he'd be fine because he's just that good at the football. Although you sign him to be a centre-back, he's gone on to be, at points, a left-back, a right-back.
Yeah.
You could play him in CDM. And I hate the whole just put him in CDM when you have a centre-back who's relatively good on the ball. Mm-hmm. But actually with him, you probably could. Mm-hmm. And it'd be fine. I think, was it Newcastle this week where he wrangled out of some really tight space?
Yeah, he did that a lot against Athletic Club as well.
Yeah, he's just good at it. He's just good at the foot. And I think, he's come on, especially considering the injury he had.
Exactly.
You'd expect him to be 10 or 15% less agile. But he looks really good.
And obviously we had Ben White as well playing at right back before him.
Yeah, of course.
And he was great as well, Ben White. And now he can't get in the team just because he's having to try and
fight. Benny Blanco is too busy in Ibiza.
He is, and he's in Ocean Beach, final boss, etc. You know, he's having a great time. He is. But I think he's probably been the most consistent for Arsenal.
I think because we both managed to pick the same with zero discussion beforehand, by the way.
Yeah, we don't know what each other are picking.
That is a clear and obvious.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, worst player then.
This is tricky because I don't think there has been a worst. Well, there has to be a worst player, I guess. But there's not been a bad player.
Yeah,
I'd argue. Who are you going for Arsenal's worst this season?
You know what? I would love to tell you I was going to go for Martinelli, but the goals that he scored in the past 2 weeks have removed him from that.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to go for Victor Gyökeres.
Damn, I think that's harsh.
You reckon?
I do think that's harsh.
Harsh is, again, you know, it's like you were saying about Bayern, you don't want to beat the dog when it's down. Yeah. I just think he's going to do a lot more of scoring against Leeds.
Well, I think he looked great on the against Newcastle, by
you
the
reckon?
Way.
I yeah. thought, you know, when I text you saying, where does he get his
team? Yeah, I didn't respond to that. Yeah. Yeah. I think he had a really, especially the first half, his hold-up play was excellent. He was running the channels. Oh, okay, well, there you go. He was excellent in the first half. His hold-up play was really, really good. He was really fighting with those centre-backs and getting a really hard time. Mm-hmm. We were, as a team, playing a lot more kind of, a lot faster and moving the ball up a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And he was running those channels. So he got fouled by Pope, which was a penalty, but we'll come on to that later. And I think he finally looks like he's adapting to the team and the team are learning about him more so as well.
But he's still probably been the worst player. As a result of all that, who's been worse than him?
I've said Trossard, which again feels harsh.
That does feel really harsh, man.
I know.
Because we know what Trossard is, and he continues to be
that.
Yeah,
he does. And I do really like Trossard as a player.
Yeah.
I like, when he's off the bench as well, which he has the last few weeks as well, he's kind of...
Because...
He's with Martinelli, he's come on and he's done some bits.
I'd have just said Sesko if I could myself. I don't think Sesko's been any good, but...
He just hasn't had the time, really, has he, to be honest.
I don't know, mate.
Or consistency,
he's got all these house viewings.
Yeah.
Hasn't had the time to score any goals yet, but he did. So I'm going to go for Shockeres.
I think that's harsh. I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that's harsh. But yeah, I
think Trossard is a cop-out.
It is a bit of a cop-out. I didn't know who else to go for, genuinely.
There has to have been a worse.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
God, it must be so horrible when you can't pick a player.
I know. God, what a privileged position that is.
Gosh.
I think Gauman off the bench, a 16-year-old.
I'm bored of this conversation now. What do you mean we're struggling to find a player who's the worst? Get out of here. Bored of this.
All right. Speaking of players who are the worst,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to a team that are not great at the moment. I think in Chelsea.
Yeah.
Who is probably Taylor's favourite topic of talking shit about at the moment would be Chelsea.
Really helps when they're not very good either.
Yeah,
like us.
Absolutely. Who got obviously stuffed 3-1 by Brighton on the weekend. Hit their feeder club, which is just so much fun.
Shout out Trevor Chalobah for being in my fantasy and doing that. That's cool.
That's huge from him.
Yeah, that's huge.
Shout out Sanchez for being in my fantasy and doing that as well.
Yeah.
Let's start with the best then. I think the best is a tap in for me this season.
João Pedro.
No, I was going to say Caicedo.
Yeah.
I still think Caicedo is the best player in that team. Before the season and this season, I think he's got 2 goals, I think, this season. Yeah, he's got 2 goals now as well. João Pedro has been great, to be fair.
I think João Pedro might have
up until about 2 weeks ago where he fell off a little bit.
Yeah.
First 3 games, 4 games, he started strong.
He did.
And again, he's probably a close second. I mean, even Enzo, don't like him, but he's looked quite good at moments as well.
Yeah.
But I think Caicedo is so important for that Chelsea team and midfield, both defensively and progressing the ball.
Yeah.
I think for me, he's been their best player.
I would be minded to agree from... I'm going to pivot slightly to João Pedro. Sorry, sometimes my mind only works in the world of fantasy Premier League. and there's other ways to look at the game. And I do agree that Caicedo has probably been the best player.
Yeah.
Right. Worst player, on the other hand, though. There's a couple of contenders here. But
go on, list them off. Who have you got for me? Go on.
So I'm thinking, immediately that comes to mind, Alejandro Garnacho, because he's a fraud. Immediately, I'm thinking Trevor Chalobah just because of what he did last game.
I think he's been good for them this year.
Immediately, I'm thinking Enzo Fernandez because he's so mid and he cost £100 million. Immediately, I'm thinking Charles Warrior Estevao because I mean, did he get an assist?
He's got 1 assist so far.
Has he?
Yeah. You haven't even mentioned the one I'd be thinking.
Well, and now I'm going to the big one. The drum roll, please. One of the worst goalkeepers I've ever gone seen, Robert Sanchez.
I think it is Robert Sanchez.
Yeah, and trust me, I've watched a season of Andre Onana. That's a bad goal. I know we've got bad goalkeeper when I see one.
It was a problem going into the season. Mm-hmm. Chelsea knew that they needed a goalkeeper.
You know,
it was the second biggest secret, or the not biggest secret, after the Arsenal need a striker, Chelsea need a goalkeeper. That was kind of the narrative all year.
I'd actually go as far to say Robert Sanchez is my favourite Chelsea player because for as far as the rest of the team goes, it is the top 4 team, but Robert Sanchez will make sure that they're not. Yeah. And I'm all right about it. I love how they've got collectively 9 goalkeepers and none of them are good enough.
He's conceded 6 goals so far this season off an expected goals to be conceded of 4.86. So obviously that's bad, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't dominate that box at all. That stupid red card against Man United.
Mm-hmm. Also, just expected goalkeeper confidence is extremely low here.
Yeah,
like, you look at a bloke, you can either be like, yeah, I like, you know, you look at Alisson, like, this guy knows what's up.
Well, he had a great game on the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah,
he kind of kept Liverpool in that game.
So, but I look at Robert Sanchez and like, questionable.
Yeah.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I think he's just the biggest issue for Chelsea. And yeah. Again,
we love to see it.
And hopefully in January that they go and get a new... Well, I don't hope they do, actually. But if I was a Chelsea fan, I would want a new goalkeeper. And I'd want a new goalkeeper quickly.
But they can't. They have nine. At what point do they have to be like...
They don't have nine goalkeepers on this.
Check how many goalkeepers they have. I reckon they have seven.
Do you think they have that many?
I think they have seven goalkeepers.
Not on loan or anything. Like,
no, I mean, like, they have bought seven goalkeepers. They've got one at Strasbourg, but they spent like 20 million quid on him.
So this is just the senior squad, though, isn't it?
That's
only three.
Look at them on loan as well, like on the books.
Bear with us, phone filling up.
This is important Chelsea slander that I'm attacking here.
How can I fill by position? Fill up some
technical issues here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, this is just Taylor's caught me off guard. Keep talking, Taylor. Keep the dead time going.
So anyway, Chelsea, ladies and gentlemen, overall dreadful team, but especially bad in their goalkeeping department. And may it continue forever, hopefully.
I've only got three goalkeepers here.
No, because they've got Mike Penders, who I know is at Strasbourg. So that's four. And now I just need to pluck three from my backside. And then we're swimming with the... People in the comment section, please... Correct me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't find it. Yeah,
but
yeah,
list me all of Chelsea's goalkeepers.
I believe you. They've got a lot of goalkeepers.
That's the chatbot.
Yeah.
But long story short, Robert Sanchez sucks. Moises Caicedo, probably one of the only few players who over £100 who's actually
good. He'd be good at United, wouldn't he?
Yeah, we always bought him for £1 million as well. Wouldn't that have been good? Cool. On to the next.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's look at Tottenham Hotspurs, I think. Currently sitting in fourth in the league. They've knocked the mighty Bournemouth out of their fourth position.
Wow.
But they have had a good year so far, I think it's safe to say. Thomas Frank has been kind of revolutionary in the way they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, you were at the game of the weekend.
I was at the weekend.
They salvaged the draw.
I was at the weekend this game and...
English podcast, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Great stadium. Shout out the Tottenham Stadium. I hate it so much because it's so beautiful and so fantastic in pretty much every way. The pre-match routine where the whole stadium darkens out and there's like the speakers are so loud, light show and everything.
That's cool.
Annoyingly so impressive. Like, literally, I stood with my friend, friend of the pod. And we were literally in the walls end and we started clapping because I was just so impressed by how awesome it was. Thankfully, Tottenham are not and... proceeded to be losing to Wolves forever. But this is going to be leading into my favourite or best player of the season so far for Spurs is Van der Cyborg, or more commonly known as Van der Ven.
I have Van der Ven down as well.
He is ginormous, man.
He's huge and he's rapid as hell.
Yeah. You could just be like, well, you're not going to see it on the podcast, but look behind his shoulder and he could just be there. And he's absolutely ginormous. And, you know, you could have nightmares where Van der Ven is... creeping around the place.
If he stays fit, which I think it looks like he's obviously been fit this far, and the way they play now is a lot nicer.
You know what? And I just love a piece of business where they paid like 28 million quid from him from Wolfsburg, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I'm just like...
He's only 24 as well.
He's 24 and he's just so good. I'm like, why can't we do that.
I know. Yeah. He's so good.
That is such a good signing. I can't believe of all the places you chose to go for £28 million, at Tottenham.
Yeah. I think he changes. Romero as well, is obviously he's still, when he is fit and he's great. I'm still not completely. I think Romero is overrated a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's because he's got that prick gene.
Yeah, he has got that prick gene. But you also kind of need that as a centre back. It's quite fun to have.
Yeah, whereas Van de Ven, actually, he hasn't got the prick gene because he's just so good.
So big, so strong, yeah. And so important for them. I did actually, a special shout out to Richarlison.
He was really dead and buried.
Yeah, he was bantered, wasn't he? Relentlessly, I think, last year especially. Doesn't really play. He was behind Solanke. But, you know, I think he's got 3 goals and 1 assist so far this year.
Yeah.
He's looked a lot better. He's looked a lot more confident.
Mm-hmm.
And he's finished his chances. So I think he's had a good start to the year as well.
All right. Going into the worst, Cormac, thoughts?
I struggled.
I actually think this is really easy.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, you go.
Mateus Tell.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, he's had a bit of, obviously left out of the Champions League squad.
Yep.
He hasn't really played too much.
Looked quite unconvincing when he has played. I think originally the loan deal that they agreed stipulated 50-something million by option.
Mm.
That got renegotiated down to 35 million. That immediately to me is a red flag if Bayern are willing to negotiate down buy option, which they've done. They've left him out of the Champions League squad. Beggars question as to why do they think that should be done. He's surely the future of that squad, if that's what they're planning on. Hasn't been playing that much. Has looked relatively unconvincing when he has played. It's weird because I think in parts he looks almost Mbappe-ish, the way he'll dribble and run.
Yeah, he
the
looks
ball.
Good. No, he does look good on the ball, but
yeah. Oh, trust me, I watched him in the Allianz Arena in Munich score against Manchester United. But at this point, Mateus Tell for Bayern Munich, all the way down to some beater from Grimsby, yeah, scored against Manchester United.
He's only played 100 minutes this season.
Yeah, but that to me is.
Oh, so we are only 6 games in as well.
But
so.
That still makes him the worst because if you're paying. Objectively speaking, I do think Brennan Johnson is the worst footballer in the history of the game.
I really like Brennan Johnson, man. Yeah, he just comes up with goals all the time. He's got the winner against Man United last year.
Yeah, but goals aren't everything in football, court, Mac.
No, but they are a lot, 90% of the game. They are the objective.
I would go as far as say 99% of the game, but it's not everything. And that small 1% in the back of my brain is telling me Brennan Johnson is not very good at football.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, well, my worst then. I think, again, this is harsh. It's kind of like a troll. I picture Udogie. At left back.
Yeah, he's come back from long-term injury.
He has, and like he was very good when at last year, you know, the beginning of last year especially, I think. So I think it's kind of the expectations I had for him a little bit have been blown slightly.
I did think they brought a world beater.
Yeah, everyone was like, he's the best left back in the league last year before mm-hmm. Panic Kirkes and everyone kind of cooked off. But, and then whereas this year he's been a bit slower. I don't think he's only in goal involvements, whereas last year, yeah, he hasn't yet. Last year he's had a few. I think he's just looked a little bit lackluster. Really, and again, he hasn't started every game. He hasn't played in every game even. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah,
and I think he'll be good again.
No, I think he's a very good player. Whereas,
he is, and again, he's only 22. Yeah, he's only 22
years
old. Yeah, well.
Spurs is like a squad could be really fantastic in a couple of years. They got a couple of players there where I'm like even Jed Spence looks. Really
yeah, he,
good
what a story he's had as well. You know, England squad.
He was on loan at Genoa a couple of years ago and wasn't playing there. And then all of a sudden, he's now in the England squad and, mm-hmm. and doing that thing. João Plinio's had a good start, but I'm not bothered about it
anymore.
Well,
you didn't say flop, did you? But you weren't convinced by the signing, I think.
I think there'll be games this season against harder opposition
yeah.
where they'll play João Plinio and he won't be helping the situation.
My mate James, who's a Fulham fan, he said if Plinio didn't go to Bayern and stayed in one of the other Premier League teams, he'd be considered one of the best CDMs in the world.
Wow.
And I said,
big talk.
You'd have too much to drink, James. It's time to go.
Yeah, right. That's huge. Well done, James, for drinking too much. It does do that to people sometimes.
But... Right then, that is Spurs nailed on. And finally, Manchester City.
Are we not doing Liverpool?
We have not done Liverpool yet. That's my bet. You know what? Let's do Liverpool first.
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit more interesting.
It is a bit more interesting.
Best player. I think for me, this was fairly easy, and I imagine it probably. I reckon we got the same one.
Really? Really?
Do you want to say three? Do you want to do a 3-2-1 count?
Yeah.
3-2-1.
Ekitike.
See, it was one of those two.
Yeah.
For me. Go on, talk about Ekitike for me.
Pretty fly for a football guy. And. Yeah, he just looked really nice with it.
Yeah. considering I don't think the expectations were there necessarily as much.
It's always funny, isn't it? You buy the guy for 130 million, but it's the guy that you pay 80 something million pounds for, which is better. It's crazy how that works out. No, he just looks really good. He looks like the striker that we could do with. I said it at the beginning of the season. He's like, if Joshua Zirkzee, he was good. and he has proven that because he's just good. Yeah. Scored loads, like, you know, objectively speaking, at the beginning of the season, a lot of goals.
Yeah, he's top scorer for Liverpool at the moment with three goals in all comps.
We like that.
Sound right. That's not right, is it? Is that just Premier League?
Huh?
Three goals in all comps. Is that right? Yeah, it's just Premier League, sorry. Just Premier League.
Pretty good. He just looks made for the Premier League. I love the way he has the ball and runs with it and does his thing.
His link-up's really good. Yeah. He's quick, he's tall, he's strong.
Super young, what, how old, 22?
22 years old, 23 only, years old.
Only going to get better.
So I picked, Szoboszlai. I can't get it out.
All of a sudden he's picking Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, I might have to. He's been, I think, Liverpool's best player this year. But again, at right back, getting obviously free kick like he did against Arsenal, scoring a winner in a very big game. And playing all over in a midfield where he's with McAllister and Gravenberg, who are also both excellent players. I think he's been the standout this season, really. Whereas I think initially he was maybe a little bit underwhelming after his 60 million signing from Leipzig. Whereas now I think he's come into it just a little bit more. And this season he looks that much better.
Do you think he looks better than Gravel Dirt? Sorry.
Are you just asking that question just because you want to get the name out?
Gravel. I know a friend of the pod will be very happy that I got Gravel Dirt. Sorry, Ryan Gravenberch.
Yeah.
Do you think he's been better than him?
No, maybe. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah,
actually. Yeah, I think he has.
Well, I thought Ryan Gravenberch has scored on the opening day, nice goal.
True.
Scored the other day.
Yep.
And the game that they won before they beat Palace.
Yep, true.
Against Everton.
That's it. Got an assist as well in the league.
Boom. Yeah. So,
no, I think Szoboszlai has been more important, maybe, let's say. I think if Gravenberg was out there, I think Szoboszlai filling in at right back and what have you.
True.
Has been great. That's been very helpful. True. But yeah, that would be my opinion on that.
Wow. Wow.
Worst player for Liverpool then, so far this season.
I've got two in my head.
Okay, do you want to do a countdown? No, okay, you got two. Go on, them two. Who do you think?
I think it's between Milos Kerkez.
Yeah, he's been about.
And Konate.
I think Konate is kind of the easy one here.
He's redeemed himself, though, a bit more.
Yeah, I think he wasn't great against Palace. And even against, I think, was it? I can't remember who they played before.
You know, you don't know how tempted I was. Actually, you know what? Scrap it.
Mo Salah. Scrap it.
No, Florian Squirts.
Florian Squirts.
You know what? Because pound for pound is the worst signing of all time, in my humble opinion.
No, I mean, six games.
Sorry, I am maybe just being a bit dramatic. But objectively speaking, I think he's probably been one of Liverpool's worst players.
He's been more underwhelming. I think Kerkez has looked worse. Right?
Kerkez has looked worse. He looks like he hasn't played in the Premier League before, which is funny because he actually has.
Yeah, I know. And I think Squirts has just been a bit meh. I don't think he's been bad necessarily, but I think he's struggled to deal with the pace of the football. It's very kind of stereotypical English commentary, but I'm full of that. So he's struggled to deal with, I think, the speed and maybe the physicality. I think he'll come good still.
Keen listeners of the pod will know that I very doubted the fee that they paid.
£125 million.
Yeah. It's a lot of moolah.
A lot of money.
It's a lot.
More than I have in my bank account, I'll tell you that for free.
No comment. And and I think if you'd have paid 60 million for him, I think that's totally justifiable.
Yeah.
I think double that. And then some. I just doubted it. And I'm being vindicated. And I hate being vindicated.
Is that going to be your definitive answer then? You go for Squirts?
No, I just wanted to tell everyone how bad I think it is. I do think it's probably Milos Kerkez.
I'm going to go Konate, I think. I think when you have someone like Van
spreading the hate.
Yeah, I just, you know, makes it more
so
fun, doesn't it?
It's so funny that it's actually really easy to think of a really bad player.
Well, they haven't been great. I mean, I think they've been really lucky.
That is the tone of a man whose team have just entered the title charge.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy then when you see comments by like a Gary Neville saying, it's a must win for Arsenal. And then obviously now the 2 points behind Liverpool is like totally open again. And it's like, everything is always blown out of mega proportion by people who think they know everything. Anyway, on to the next thing we're going to say, which is outrageous.
Says the blokes with football podcast who thinks the world needs to know, which they do. Yeah, but I think, we'll come up onto Liverpool Palace shortly, but I just think, that he's been underwhelming. And I think he's lucky he has the best centre-back in the world, partner next to him.
You know what? Shout out, by the way, the Netherlands, because they have Virgil van Dijk and Van der Ven as their defensive. And Matthijs de Ligt.
They never do well, the Netherlands, do they?
No, they don't. I think it's because they still got Ronald Koeman in charge, or have they got a different...
No idea.
Different Dutch bloke now in charge. See, the Ronald Koeman or Ronald Koeman.
It is still Koeman.
Yeah, and he is bad at the football managing.
Yeah.
He plays three at the back.
He does play three at the back.
Which is really annoying because I think if you've got two centre-backs like Van der Ven and Virgil van Dijk and...
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good. Something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back. And giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst at left back, then you may as well just do that for the back thing that people like to do.
Or you lose 2-1 to England in the quarterfinals of the Euros.
That's incredibly true. Shout out Ollie Watkins.
Quarterfinals, semi-finals. I'm in semis.
Semis. It was semis because that booked us in for the final.
It did indeed. Shout out Ollie Watkins.
Lose it anyway.
Yeah, don't worry. Not going to talk about that. Finally, then we'll come on to Manchester City.
Huge.
We've had a mixed start to the league. I think it's fair to say.
My heart.
Just double checking we were recording, guys. We are. Don't worry. I think the best player is going to be Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
Is that a crazy statement? He has the slowest start to the year.
Carry on.
So his slowest ever start to a Premier League season by only scoring 8 goals in 6
outrageous
games.
Statistic.
So he's clearly fallen off. Only getting 8 goals in 6 games. Outrageous and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that then?
I would agree, but I'll raise your Haaland and I'll put on the table Jeremy Doku.
Doku started really well.
Who has looked... He might be the top 3 best dribblers I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is a statement. Okay.
He is so good at dribbling.
He really is. His issue has always been that kind of end product. Yeah.
And it seems
ball.
Like he's getting that a bit more.
3 assists in the league so far this year. He's looked a lot better. He looked really good against Arsenal, actually.
He
was good against Man U.
Hated the idea of every time he got the ball and Diego Dalo had to try and defend him.
Yeah.
A ball. Obviously, proceeded not to, but yeah.
That's just the whole thing. Was it about... is it Doku? There's that guy on Twitter who sees who Doku plays and every time he plays a good game, it's always a fullback.
Yeah,
it's always,
it is
Doku, yeah. But he is good. He is having a really good year.
But ultimately, it has to be Haaland.
I think I still got Haaland just because he's just doing what he does, which is score all the goals.
Yeah.
Foden's looked good as well. I would say he's been the best player by any means, but he has, the last few games, he's looked
He just has one good game and everyone's... Bit going nuts again.
Yeah, he's had a few. He's had a few against Burnley. He was decent.
I know. I'm just a hater.
Yeah, I respect that. Worst player then for Man City so far this year. Who would you say?
I think for just how things have gone, I'd probably have to say James Trafford.
I also had James Trafford down.
Yeah, just because to start the season off as number one, to fumble really badly on your debut, and then club... say, let's go just sign, I don't know, maybe the best goalkeeper in the world right now.
Yeah.
And him then coming in and looking like the best goalkeeper in the world makes you think, maybe he made a mistake there. Maybe he should have joined Newcastle. And it's quite funny because Nick Pope actually looked really good against Newcastle.
Yeah, a very good game against Arsenal,
minus one very contentious thing. But so I think James Trafford's stunk the place out. Honourable mentions for Matheus Nunez, who will never convince me that he's good at football.
Yep. Especially playing a right back as well. I still hate that. That back line does not convince.
Yeah, that back line is so mid.
O'Reilly's good, actually. I do quite like
O'Reilly's just signed a new contract as well, which cool for him.
Yeah, that's good.
Ultimately, though, no one cares because it's Manchester City. And
they're going to finish third, maybe fourth, maybe even fifth this year.
And they have about 7 fans in the whole world. So.
Yeah, they do. None of them listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
But that's all the big six, traditional big six in that sense. Are there any other players you want to shout out or diss Taylor throughout the league?
I do want to shout out Illiman Ndoye
for
being a shout that Cormac made at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, put him in my team of the season.
Yep.
He's really good for Everton. Another shout out of a player I've put in the team of the season, Granit Xhaka for Sunderland, who are currently in fifth, I think, or sixth. Yeah, fifth place. And have started amazingly already. Hit, I think, Southampton's point tally from last season.
Wow.
In the first 6 games. He's looked really good, Granit Xhaka, for them. In terms of players who have been poor, I mean, there's plenty you could pick off from the likes of Aston Villa, obviously getting their first win against Fulham yesterday. But before that, they had been pretty poor so far
this
year.
They have looked pretty poor.
I think Watkins has been underwhelming. Nice finish against Fulham.
Yeah, he didn't want to score.
Yeah.
But...
Okay, nice. And then
pretty much, I think Morgan Rogers as well has really kind of not cracked on.
Yeah.
Shout out Jadon Sancho for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Shout out Victor Lindelof for doing nothing.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm such a hater. Shout out Nottingham Forest for just being bad and convincing me actually that Ange isn't a good manager.
Yeah. First manager in 93 years or something from Nottingham Forest who hasn't won one of their first 5 games.
You don't want to be doing anything more than 93 years.
Yeah, it's not
really good or bad.
Not great. But yeah, that's kind of it. I mean,
I also really like Minte from Brighton.
Yep.
He looks good.
He does look
good. Shout out Paul Van Hecke for being rubbish, as per always.
He's just such a Paul Van Hecke hater, man. Palace have had several great players so far. I mean, Mateta's been kind of key how they've been doing. I want to give a special shout out to Richards, actually, because I watched him against
Liverpool. Chris Richards, great name.
He's been so solid for them.
Yeah.
So good. All the back line had Gehi as well, and even Lacroix at times.
Dean Henderson, by the way, who I have.
Team of the season.
Yeah.
He's been great. All of Palace, the wing backs, Eric Mitchell, I think, is kind of almost revolutionised.
Did Mateta get 2 goals? He's got 2 goals this season.
Yeah. Not yet.
I was going to say,
he
hit the post yesterday. My fantasy last week.
He hit the post.
Yeah, shout out. That was a strike, by the way.
It was a strike.
Mateta is still being the vibes man we've always known and loved.
Well, Palace is the official club of this podcast, after all.
I mean, they're just my club now. I don't even have another club.
And Adam Wharton.
Shout out every player for Bournemouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Bournemouth absolutely crushing it as well.
Semenyo just... Screaming.
Tell you what, he's getting in your fantasy team. I've had him in my fantasy team. I don't think he's blanked yet.
No, he's... how many goals has he got? 4 goals and 2 assists. Wow. Yeah.
That's a bad eye, isn't it?
Why didn't no one buy him?
Well, Arsenal will link with him quite a little bit.
To a Manchester United?
Yeah, sure. Every other player.
But
yes, that is the best and worst players from some of the teams in the Premier League this season. But now, folks, it's time for the red and white scoreboard. For those who don't know, this is a segment we do every week where Taylor and I predict 5 games from this week's worth of football, or in this case, we're going to look at last week's. You get 3 points for the correct score, 1 point for the correct result, and nil point for everything else. Now, well, Taylor won last week, so we got to pick 3 of the games.
Oh, man.
And Taylor, for those who did listen, went on a bit of a 2-2 hot streak in predicting many a game. So I'm just going to run through the games and the points from this last week. First game we went for was Chelsea-Brighton. I predicted 1-2. Taylor predicted 2-2. It was, in fact, 1-3, giving me 1 point. Taylor, 0 points. Then we did Villa versus Bologna. I predicted 2-1. Taylor predicted 2-2. It was 1-0 to Villa, giving me 1 point and Taylor 0 points. Next, we did Wrexham versus Derby. I predicted 1-1. Taylor predicted 2-1. It was, in fact, 1-1.
I can't believe all the draws, actually.
I got the 3 points. Then we did Palace-Liverpool. I predicted 2-3. Taylor predicted 2-2. It was 2-1, both getting us 0 points. And finally, Newcastle versus Arsenal. I said 1-0-1. Taylor said 0-0, and it was 1-2, giving me 1 point.
Wow.
So that gives me a total tally of 6 points from this week. And let me just add Taylor's up really quick. That's a 0. That's a blank from Taylor, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's 2 blanks in 3 weeks from Taylor.
Huge numbers from me. Lesson learned, ladies and gentlemen.
Looking
2-2
at the league...
is not a common score in the football world.
Looking at the league table then, I'm on 24. Taylor is on 13. A little
you know
bit
what,
of a
though?
Gap here.
It's all right for me. I'm in second place.
You are in second. So true.
You've got to remain positive.
So true. So, you know, you come in.
little bit of a gap.
Oh, Lordy coming.
So a little bit of a gap, but we will look at this week's World of Football, folks, and see what we will do. What are your takeaways from
I always just need a bit of a reality check to bring me back. You know, maybe I was silly to pick 2-2 for four of my results.
Maybe.
Three of my results.
Maybe.
But maybe I wasn't, and maybe this is the week that the 2-2 rises
are we back, a phoenix.
Mm.
Right, I'm going to pick the first game then of this season. I'm going to pick
Champions League.
So it's Champions League, obviously, this week. I'm going to pick the most exciting fixture,
I think, which is
Barcelona versus PSG, which is on Wednesday night. I think that's going to be an absolute corker.
Whoa.
I don't. Is your mouth fit?
That could be. That, I don't want to say it. Go that on. Could be.
That could be 2-2.
You know what? I just feel like I have to pick a 2-2 now. It's a 1 and a 2-2.
Right, I'm gonna say 3-1 to PSG.
Oh, you know what? That's a good.
So 1-3, if you will. Taylor's going. What's Taylor going to do here, folks?
I'm going to give her a 2-2. No, I tell you what. I have to go for the crazy. That's a crazy one. I need to just go differential.
Oh, okay. I like it. So another 2-2 for Taylor. Right.
Just always sounds so good in my
head. No. What do you think?
Yeah, give me.
It's Champions League tomorrow. It's Monday night, folks, for those.
I'm going to go for Chelsea Benfica. Nice. The return of the Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. What you got for me, Taylor?
I'm going to go for 3-1 Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like that. I'm going to go for a scrappy. Oh, let's go 1-1. A little bit
See,
different.
You like a 1-1.
I do like a 1-1. I think 1-1 is the most common score in football.
Nah, that's boring.
Which is dull, but it's also, you know, why on top of the league. Of 2.
Imagine how much better football would be if the average score was 2-2.
It would be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Right, looking ahead of this weekend then, I'm going to pick another big game, which we're looking at on Saturday, 5:30. We've got another Chelsea game, Chelsea versus Liverpool. So we've got two Chelsea games in this week. They've got two big games this week.
Wow.
I think 1-3, so 3-1 to Liverpool.
Yeah, okay. I'm going 2-1 Liverpool because I think they're going to score in the last minute to win.
Yeah, that's an. I've got 2-1-3s down right now.
If you get them, I'm going to be fuming.
What do you want? We've got some Europa League as well on Thursday. If you give a shit about that.
Yeah, I actually do give a. I'm going to pick a really nuts McGee one.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Roma versus Lille.
Okay. Where's that? Where are you even looking? Oh, yeah, Roma versus Lille. All right, nice. That's big clubs.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-1 Roma.
Yeah, nice. I like that. I don't know anything about these teams this season. I have no idea who Roma doing. I have no idea who Lille
Roma team. Won on the weekend.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Roma based off nothing but vibes.
Huge.
And then finally, one last game this weekend. Let's look at Sunday's fixtures. They're all a bit dull.
That's the worst day of football I've ever seen.
Yeah, why is there so many games on Sunday as well?
International break.
Sure, there's only 4 games on Saturday. Let's look at this then. I'm going to pick... Let's go Everton Crystal Palace. I think that has the potential to be one of the more interesting fixtures.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
At Everton...
Oh,
that's a tough one to call, really. 18 games unbeaten in Crystal Palace these days.
Mm.
I'm going to say 2-2.
Oh, I was going to say 2-2.
Taking a page out of Taylor's book.
I'm going to go for 2-1 to Palace.
Nice. All right, nice. There we go, folks. Just rattling that off then. You've got Barcelona versus PSG. I've said 1-3. Taylor said 2-2. Chelsea versus Benfica. I've said 1-1. Taylor said 3-1. Chelsea versus Liverpool. I've said 1-3. Taylor said 1-2. Roma versus Lille. I've said 3-0. Taylor said 2-1. And then Everton versus Palace. I've said 2-2. Taylor said 1-2. Come back next week. Actually, there isn't going to be an episode next week, but we'll keep on top of the Red and White scoreboard. And even while I'm away, we'll continue to pick games. And our first episode back, we'll do a big catch up about the last 3 weeks.
See myself on 13 points after 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's going to be great stuff.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. But yes, that's another week of the Red and White Shortball podcast. Scoreboard, should I say.
Boom.
We're not done yet. We'll have a quick rattle off of this last weekend and also what the title race is looking at. Should we start with Arsenal Newcastle?
Let's do it. Good game.
Great game. About damn time Arsenal played a good game of football in terms of just if you're neutral, I guess. Unbelievably frustrating and difficult to watch as an Arsenal fan. Obviously went 1-0 down to the big German. Gabriel had a bit of a stinker there. I don't know if you see the goal.
That's embarrassing. I was waiting for someone to say the word embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. But he also then did go on to redeem himself, scoring a 95th minute winner.
I actually really dislike him.
Gabriel.
Yeah.
Completely get it. But
yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, that's complete. He's a bastard.
Yeah.
So the referee had a bit of a rough game, I think. And there was
you don't think he had a Newcastle jersey underneath him under that first half?
You know what's interesting? I've seen both sides say the same thing.
Yeah, that's correct. I think it was quite obviously he was just letting Newcastle get away with everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very physical game. And to be fair, we were giving it back. Like, Gabriel did kind of slap Walter Knight in the face.
Yeah, granted.
So, there was given both ways. I think we looked, from the get-go, Arsenal looked a lot better. The first half especially, we played some really nice football. But the biggest takeaway for me, again, is the depth that we had. We brought on Martinelli, we brought on Odegaard, and we brought on...
Trossard, come on.
Trossard started, but he ended up playing left-back at one point. Which shows Arteta went
Lewis
for it.
Skelly as well.
Lewis Skelly came on. So we looked really, you know... And Wanyama didn't even make the bench because of how deep the squad was.
Really?
So, and it, credit to Arteta, he got it right this time.
He was down on the bench.
Yeah, he was. Credit to Arteta this week. He changed the lineup. You know, got a lot of criticism last week against the City game for starting. Marino came on as well, obviously he scored.
Mm-hmm.
It was a more negative, I guess you could argue it was a more of a negative lineup last week, which I think is a fair thing to say. Whereas this time, a lot more positive. You had the likes of, you know, Eze starting in that 10 position where I think he was excellent. He had kind of a bit of more free roaming. He had several good efforts on goal, which Pope actually made several good saves. Like I've already touched on as well, Jokeres looked really good, running the channels, holding the ball up well, looking strong. Still not perfect, but I think he's getting better week on week.
I think he is getting better.
Yeah. Obviously 1-0 down, which was against a run of play, but it was pathetic from Gabriel the way he fell down for the header. But I think we did respond really well and we kept going and we moved the ball around that much quicker. Odegaard came on and made a massive difference. I think he played slightly deeper than he usually would. And I think he looked great there.
Sometimes he doesn't do it, but today, he did do it. So.
He makes such a difference. I think he looks so much better when the game's in front of him, as opposed to when he is in those pockets. I think he struggles because he's always coming deeper anyway, usually.
Yes.
Collect the ball. But if he starts there and you have someone in that 10 where he should be, such as an Eze, I think that just, it looks a lot better. But massive win, I think, in the stakes of the title race, which is, I know it's only 6 weeks in, but you know, another world, another realm. It's currently, we're currently 8 points ahead had they not dropped points to Palace and
and Gary Neville's telling everyone that the title race is finished.
Yeah, thanks Gary, he changes his mind every week, bless him, but so do we, so I can't respect it. But instead it's only 2 points, obviously. And the momentum does have, it's a bit of a shift there. I think I'd say over the first six games we've looked like the best team. Liverpool have obviously had those last-minute winners.
Most solid.
Exactly. And I think according to the bookies, we're the favourites, but that's just because I think loads of people this weekend decided to put money on Arsenal to win the league just because Liverpool dropped points to Palace. I think really important win. We never win at St. James's Park. We've lost four of the last five there.
I think the best way to describe it for you guys was both teams deserve to draw that game, but the fact you win it,
yeah, I think we deserve to win that on a whole.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think we were the better team.
To be honest, when I think about it, I think now's a good chance to touch on the ridiculous incident in the first half.
Yeah.
In the form of the non-penalty. The penalty which was given and then intervened by VAR.
Clear and obvious, right? That's what we're told.
Yeah.
Clear and obvious errors is what VAR... There's nothing clear and obvious. You have to watch it however many times in slow motion to see that he just nicked the ball. Pope just nicked the ball before he took down Jokeres. Which apparently justifies being able to completely batter someone and take them down. I'm exaggerating, trip them up. But like, if that's the case, Sanchez shouldn't have been sent off against Chelsea last week because he clipped the ball before he took out Mbeumo. And that, you know, if that's not, then that's not a foul. It's because that was outside the box, which is why that was given. Whereas this here, because it's inside the box and it's a penalty, the referee shat the bed because it was at St. James's Park. And VAR, to be fair, they shouldn't have told him to go to the monitor. They should have just said it's not clear and obvious, clearly. And it should have been a penalty, I think.
I just thought you show 100 people that, and they're saying it's a penalty.
It's one of those as well. Like, if he hadn't given it, and he said he got the ball, and then the VAR said, oh, when I come and have a look at it, I think he's within his right to say, no, I've called it. It's not clear and obvious. Yeah. We're going with
on the refs in the league are just really poor quality, and it just doesn't seem to be getting better in any shape.
VAR needs to go, man. I've been a defender of VAR. I'm just so bored of this controversy.
No, I think it's not the VAR that's the problem. It's the people running the VAR, which is obviously, they're obviously running it wrong. They're not trained to be VAR people. They're trained to be referees, but they're not good at either. So credit to them for sucking. But
despite that,
true vindication in the end. You know, to get the winner, back. You know, on the weekend when Liverpool lose to score a last minute winner at St. James Park, arguably the Arsenal Newcastle games are slowly becoming the most entertaining.
They've always very physical in games.
The Premier League, you guys have got like lingering beef with
each other. I think because we're both, as fan bases, we both kind of suck.
Yeah.
In the sense, we are very vocal, we are very loud, annoying. We probably do think we should be winning more than we are, which is true for both, maybe not Newcastle.
From a Manchester United, two very annoying fans that just don't win anything ever and just think they should be.
Great result. Really happy and just relieved, I think. I was so stressed watching that. But going on to Liverpool then, obviously losing to Palace. Alisson kept them in that first half. Palace were the better
team.
Could
have been 4-0 up, couldn't they?
It could have easily. Yeah, I think so. Alisson made three or four really good strong saves. They hit the post as well with Mateta.
That was such a strike, man.
I know, that would have been a
lovely goal. As if he'd scored.
I saw a stat. Palace averaged one shot for every 11 touches of the ball.
Great stats all that stuff.
Yeah, so that awesome there. So they weren't messing around. This kind of comes back to Liverpool's frailties, which everyone was talking about defensively.
Yeah. Man, someone was going to do it to them eventually. I was just surprised it was a Man U.
Yeah.
We got that in 3 weeks' time.
Exactly, got that to look forward to.
They got Chelsea this weekend. Mm-hmm. Liverpool-Chelsea always kind of gives me a throwback to, like, you know, that 2000.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm expecting all of them in their long sleeve. Yeah. Torres is starting up front for Liverpool.
Or for Chelsea, maybe.
Or for Chelsea,
But, you know, just that kind of vibe. And it's got a certain type of feeling to it, this game. Yeah. So I feel like that could go either way, but I do hope Liverpool wings just hate Chelsea so much.
Well, I hope Chelsea win.
I know, I understand.
Or Liverpool drop points at the very
least. I hope everyone just loses, actually.
I think Liverpool will probably comfortably.
Yeah, but I think they've been exposed a bit. And I'm glad the Palace have got their number. You know, Palace have got them in the cup as well.
Yeah.
So, Palace, I just hope you just keep beating Liverpool forever.
They've been great this season.
What a time you guys are having. Enjoy it.
They've been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Special shout out to Nketiah as well, scoring that last minute winner. Boom. My guy. Love you to bits.
Keep it up.
Just keep it going, Palace. But we'll touch on as well very briefly. Man United obviously lost 3-1 to Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, run us through the game.
Just very easily. 20 minutes in, 2-0 down. De Ligt has looked so good in the centre of the park all season. Moved to right centre back. Lenny Yarrow is nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were worried about corners and long throw-ins, but they're still rubbish. There's so much space everywhere. We haven't got a midfield still. Can't believe we haven't figured that one out. I've been saying it for weeks. And the attack looks very disjointed. And everyone looks like they don't know what they're doing still, which is really, really, really settling.
I think it looked like the system is kind of failing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really nice to know that they have this week on the training ground, which Amorim was so desperate and was like, you know, it's probably a good thing that we don't get Champions League, because I'm going to now teach these guys new ways to look at the football and how to kick the football. And he's showing them a new way, because this team, which when Erik ten Hag got sacked or wanted to sack Erik ten Hag for finishing eighth, we've now got a team which is consistently 15th. So I'm really happy about that.
And you're playing like the 15th best team.
Yeah, we are. And arguably, you know, Burnley, that should have been really 2-2. We weren't losing, but we obviously scored the last minute penalty. Chelsea, that exists in its own
vacuum. It's an anomaly,
isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. And then this game now. So, I mean, you know, the two wins we've got, I'm not convinced by them at all. We drew to Fulham, but again, not convinced by that at all. Overall, generally unconvinced. There's the guy who's obviously growing his hair until we're in fine games.
Yeah.
I'm upping the ante. I'm not drinking water again until they sack Ruben Amorim. So get on it, because I'm pretty pumped.
The only reason he's not been sacked is because the ownership don't want to own up to.
They don't want to look stupid, but you know how stupid they look right now? Because ultimately, who's going to sit here and tell me that he's not going to get sacked at some point? It's only going to get
Sunderland
worse.
Sunderland this weekend.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, even if he does win against them, it's not a realm, or there's not a future where he is Manchester United's manager in 2-3 years' time. No. It ain't happening. Sack him, bring in a guy who's just going to play four at the back, and let's just get the vibes high, because the vibes now are bad. And this whole three at the back nonsense, no midfield. Like I say, Kobbie Mainoo, bless him. Like, why didn't you let him leave? You haven't started him in a game season.
I don't get it.
And I know, obviously, he came on and Brentford scored when he lost it. But, you know, he's not had any... These chaps have had so much time to... Mason Mount left wing back. I'm just jumping from issue to issue. Mason Mount left wing back, £65 million. Playing left wing back. I hate... He won't rejig or just do anything.
It's the fact that he always... Like you said, we've already touched on it a little bit, but the changing of the back line... Constantly
is unbelievably in a game. Inconsistent,
and he just doesn't change the formation. He keeps that stupid three back, and it just clearly isn't working.
There's a difference between a formation and a system. So the formation he is using is a 3-4-2-1. I guess, but the two right and left wing backs. That is objectively the formation. But the system in which they play through that formation is so wrong, because it's always ending up on the left wing back, Adorgu's foot, and it's just not getting anywhere near where we need it to be. I thought about this earlier. The best way to explain it is as simple as you play with three centre backs more than the average team and you can't defend.
Yep.
You play with two midfielders, but you may as well not have a midfield. Mm-hmm. And you spend 200 million on a new attack, and you still can't score goals. So back to front, and you got a goalkeeper who knows what. who knows?
Yeah.
Don't care. Like I say, hurry up and sack him, boys. I'm getting thirsty.
Sunderland this weekend.
I mean, Sunderland have 11 points.
Sunderland are very
solid. The only game that
solid.
Sunderland have lost this season is to Burnley.
Yeah.
Which is actually incredible if you think about it.
Sunderland are very solid this year.
Yep, they have. And you're telling me that a midfielder, Granit Xhaka, is going to rock up to
33-year-old Granit Xhaka, and
he's probably going to have man in the match because he's got no midfield who's going to be pressing him. The fact he keeps starting Manuel Ugarte over Kobbie Mainoo, Kobbie Mainoo came on and did everything Ugarte tried to do in 10 minutes. So just don't give me this whole we can't play the position to that position. Ugarte, don't even know he's a professional footballer, mate. So what are you doing starting him every week?
This weekend, then, Maynard lose to Sunderland at Old Trafford.
Well, no, because I said this months ago, he should have been sacked months ago. He could get sacked again, but he's not going to get sacked.
If he loses...
No, he won't get sacked.
Going into international break.
He won't
break.
Get sacked.
When do they sack him, then?
Cormac, if I had the answers, I'd love to tell you, mate. I don't know. I don't think they're going to sack him. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they just sacrificed another season by keeping him in, because this is a new regime.
Can't survive the season,
though. No, but I'm sorry, but... He might at this rate, because he survived everything else.
Mm.
Well, at this point, since he's been in, it's almost a year now. He's played 34 Premier League games and he's won 9 of them. Yeah. So if that's not bad enough, what's to say he doesn't get like 2 wins in a row and everyone's like, this is the best, we're back.
Mm.
But then over the course of 8 games, we win 3, draw like 2, and then lose the rest. That's still better than what we're doing now.
Mm.
So... what point does he get sacked? We might just get to like 12th and it's just like, this is better. Just sack him. Like, I can't keep saying this. I said it after the Europa League final. He should have been gone then, because I just saw, I don't like this. I don't like this system. I don't like this vibe. Like, he looks nervous on the bench. He's got his feet up. He's looking all nervous.
He's got his head down. Yeah.
Bro looks like a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And I'm just like...
Just put him out of his misery.
Get rid of him. I'll say it once and I'll say it again. Get rid of him. Don't care if we beat Sunderland. Like, we beat Chelsea and I didn't care.
Yeah.
Lost to Brentford and I still think he should be sacked. So, just get him gone.
Looking forward to that Sunderland game on Saturday, folks.
Yep.
That is a perfect way to end it, I think. And breathe, everybody. That is another week of the Red and White Trouble podcast. Like I said, we have a few weeks off now because I'm off on my holly bobs. But it's been a pleasure. Taylor, as always, check out all the time codes. I should have said this at the beginning, but time codes are at the bottom. Links for everything in the description as well. Anything else to add?
Like I say, going to miss you, Cormac. Have fun on vacation. Vacaciones.
Indeed.
I'm sure the footballing world will miss
Red and White Chalkboard podcast.
You know they will.
Yeah, I know they
will. You know they will.
But we will be back, ladies and gentlemen, so do not stray too far away from your favourite podcast. And yeah, that's it.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. Catch you soon.